Well, thank you for letting me share with you this morning. I actually asked to preach this time. I recently went to a children's ministry convention, and I wanted to share some of the excitement that I picked up when I went there and some of the challenges that I started thinking through. Sorry, I forgot my video clip, so I just ran down the hall and ran back, so give me a second here. It was in Nashville, but it was a global meeting of lots of different children's ministers and volunteers from several different denominations that are all fueled by Jesus, coffee, and goldfish on a regular basis. This was a super popular t-shirt that week. It was a great time to get to worship with and learn from other children's ministers. And one of the first things I want to do is just super practical. I want to share with you a tool for evangelism that I hadn't seen before, but I'm shocked I hadn't seen before. And will you help me move this? It is so easy to share. I'm going to show you drawing it in real time. You could take this and draw it on a napkin in a restaurant and get your point across. And if you can't see this, don't worry. I'm going to throw it on the screen afterwards, but I wanted to show you in real time how easy it is to draw. If you're trying to explain to somebody what the gospel is, it just takes three circles. Your first circle is right here, and you draw a heart in it. And this shows us the world as God created it, perfect. And we lived in harmony with God in his design. But we chose to break God's law and reject community with him. So we left that world. Don't worry if you can't draw good stick figures, neither can I. We went that way. And now we live in a world that is broken. It is full of sin, full of lots of things that weren't in God's design. And as you live in a world like that, you realize, I don't want to live in a world like this. This is not what I was meant for. So people will do things like seek out relationships to try to escape that broken world. People will seek fame and wealth to try to escape that broken world. They'll even try to do lots of good things to escape that broken world. But there is only one way to escape that broken world, that situation of being separated from God. And luckily, God provided it for us. He sent his only son, Jesus, down to our world. He died on the cross for us, and 3 days later, he rose again. And if we can accept that we aren't supposed to be part of this broken world, that we ourselves are broken, and we submit to Jesus and understand that he should be our Lord and Savior, and we mark that occasion with baptism to show the world, hey, I don't want to live this life for me anymore. I want to live my life for God. And we make him the king of our lives. Then what he can do is make us, you ready for the fancy drawing? Brand new. And restore us to a relationship with God, how things were always designed to be. That wasn't hard to draw, was it? You could do that on a napkin. And I'll show you on the screen here, just in case you couldn't see that very well. Now, I'm not condoning tattoos, but I even saw a guy that had a tattoo with this just so he could share it that much easier. Again, do not go home and say I condone them or condemn them. But I just thought I'd share that. And the guy that shared, The guy that shared this with me, can we put a picture of him up on the screen? He started a ministry doing EDM music with biblical verses as the lyrics, and it's taken off huge. But even at that conference that I was at, somebody walked up to him and said, oh, do you know how many more people you could reach for the gospel if you just didn't have that red mohawk? He said, do you know how many people I wouldn't have reached for the gospel if I didn't have this red mohawk? People walk up to him that wouldn't walk up to a stranger ever any other time, but strike up a conversation. He told a story about a guy who came up to him, and he's like, dude, I just went to this punk rock show the other day, and there's another one coming up. You want to go with me? That'd be so fun. what he was doing was, he's like, hey, do you want to go shoot up with me later? He was into drugs in a heavy way. He was into meth. He was looking for a friend to go have some fun. He said, you know what? No, I love music, but I don't live that life anymore. Do you know who Jesus is? That guy is now, not this guy, the guy he was talking to, is now a small group leader in his church. He wouldn't have reached him without that mohawk. Now, I don't expect a whole lot of new haircuts next week, but just kind of think at first. It's not necessarily a selfish move. He's doing this so people will start talking to him. So those days in Nashville were a great chance for me to reflect on where our ministry is and where we could go for the glory of God. And the first verse that they shared with us and kind of the idea that carried through the whole conference was Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. If you'll please turn there with me. If you don't have a Bible, you know there's probably one just in front of you underneath the chair. If you don't have a Bible to take home, well, now you do. Ephesians 3, starting in verse 20. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Through his power at work in us, God is able to do more than we can ask or even imagine to ask. But how much do we put that power to work? Our God is able, but he tends not to do more than we're prepared for. In his signature, my ways are higher than your ways fashion, God has chose to accomplish his will through us, by his power. So my question is, how ready are we? I have an illustration for that. And again, a lot of this stuff I picked up at the conference, so don't think I'm really cool and came up with these illustrations. I'm just sharing them because I can't come up with anything better. Riley, will you help me out? All right. I've got Riley here on the floor, and I have a Dixie cup. This Dixie cup is designed for holding water. This Dixie cup, doing its job the right way, will hold water and bring water up to your mouth so that you can drink it. Will you show them, Riley? Go ahead. All right, that's it. Whoop. This cup is capable, but its capacity is limited. And I have to ask myself, is that how God sees our children's ministry at Maple Avenue? We are capable. We're doing a good job with the kids that are here. But are we prepared for more? I don't think God tends to do more than he sees us prepared for. Because otherwise, it would just be a big mess. Thanks, Riley. You can go back to children's ministry. Can you guys give Riley a thanks? Good job, buddy. Now, if anybody asks you, what's wrong with the floor up front? Don't tell them, or then they'll know what's going to happen. I really think God is prepared to do amazing things in our children's ministry, but there's some things we need to change up just to be ready for that. It has been the prayer of our leadership for years that as God finds us responsible, he will increase our responsibility. And I believe that God is ready to bless us with more responsibility, but he may be waiting for our children's ministry to be prepared. And right now, we've got our hands full. Will you run that video clip?
Oh, babe, this is my mom. Can you take in the groceries?
Well, I mean, the game starts in 2 minutes. Can we not?
I have to take this. I'm sorry. Hello? And by the way, I don't want you to throw out your back again like last time, okay? You're allowed to take 2 trips. Hello?
Okay.
Hi, Mom. Yeah, I
see. See you inside.
I'm not really sure about the bread. I feel like it's a little bit light. It might not be exactly what we're looking for. No.
there, neighbor. I was wondering if I could bend your ear for a minute. See, I'm considering moving my yard about 6 feet into your yard so I got more storage space for my sea dudes. But the wife recommended I check
with you. Yeah.
Well, thank you, neighbor. You're a peach. Have a good day now.
Paper. Did you forget it? It was in the front seat.
What?
All right, we can stop that clip. I'm so glad I found that one. All right. In some ways, our kids' ministry looks a lot like this guy carrying groceries. We're managing. We're accomplishing the task, but we're carrying way too much. We can't adjust well for new circumstances. Things get dropped along the way. Random strangers get headbutted. We need some help. Right now, we've got about 25 servants doing the work of about what I add up to 90 people. If we had an optimal rotation, we wouldn't have people serving every Sunday. We wouldn't have people serving every other Sunday. And some people, they have to make the choice between, we ask people to go to one service and then worship in the other. But when we go to the new building, that's not going to be an option because we're probably going to start in a one service schedule. Suddenly, our children's ministry model for volunteers doesn't work anymore. That would mean that if people worked in Kids Connection, they would have to choose whether to go to an adult worship service on a Sunday or to serve in children's ministry. And not only is that asking too much, I think that's not answering the call that God's given us to reach children. We need to make a shift and increase our capacity so that we can be prepared for what God has ready for us. I'm picturing an optimal rotation of about 90 roles that need to be filled on Sundays. Not on a given Sunday, but on Sundays. Instead of anyone working every single week, I'd be asking people to commit to just one role 12 times a year. Well, there's 365 days in a year. That's not asking much at all. Okay, I get it. That is asking once a month, okay? But 12 times a year just sounds better, right? And with our Sunday school, with our education hour, that would work just a little differently. I'd ask people to commit to teaching one quarter and then taking three quarters off to be with adult Sunday school classes. I really thought I was going to get an amen on that one. Here's another way of putting it. We need everyone to do more so that everyone can do less. That sounds good, right? Amen. Hey, thank you. Oh. We need people to catch the vision for children's ministry that's cast in the book of Psalms. If you'll turn, or probably just look up on the screen, at chapter 78 of Psalms, verses 5 through 7. And I'm going to read out of the New Living Translation just because I like how it worded a particular part. For he issued his laws to Jacob, he gave his instructions to Israel. He commanded our ancestors to teach them to their children, so the next generation might know them, even the children not yet born, and they will in turn teach their own children. So each generation should set its heart anew on God, not forgetting the glorious miracles and obeying his commands. What a clear picture of children's ministry. We share his miracles and teach his commands so that each generation will set their hope on Jesus. We have lots of people at Maple Avenue who have caught this vision for helping children set their hope on Jesus. And I've avoided mentioning people by names before because I am absolutely terrified of missing someone. But after going to this convention and seeing how people can really encourage their volunteers by mentioning them by name, I'm going to get over that fear. And I just want you guys to see who is serving, particularly right now. This is not for all times in the past, present, and future. Who's serving right now on a given Sunday? This is just a picture of Sunday. And I want you guys to see what's happening. In our nursery, we have people like Babette Bice, Allison Jefferson, Patty Morgan, Kim and Lisa Lemkeman, loving our littlest ones each and every week. The closest they ever get to a thank you from one of these little babies is an ear-piercing cry and a full diaper ready to change. In our toddler room, we have Tom and Janice Gates working their hearts out. They are toddler room legends. Each and every week, they pour into their toddlers, and if somebody comes in to sub, they have a sheet written out that gives you an explanation of each child and what to anticipate. Who gets that? Nobody gets that, except unless you're working with the Gates. And if your kids have ever come through their ministry, through the toddler room, chances are they still get a birthday card from them. I'm convinced they have a mainframe computer in the back of their house that just keeps calendars, and it spins, and it's, yeah. I don't know how they do it. In our preschool and kindergarten room, we have multi-generational ministry happening. We have Judy and Mary Hammond working together to teach in our education hour. Jan Detrick and Carrie Dunseth are leading our second service worship with the help of Alyssa Clayton. Tim Gates is ready to help whenever and wherever is needed. He's like the grease that just makes the machine run smoothly. Teresa Anderson helps in our first service with our, I've called it our one-room schoolhouse approach. It's all ages during first service, and she's always ready with an amazing craft. Like, kids see me walk into lead, and they're like, oh, it's not Miss Teresa. We're not going to do the craft today. She came up to me one week, and she said, oh, I'm so upset. And I said, whoa, what? What's going on? Oh, I only have my backup craft ready. Only have my backup craft ready. Do you hear that? I don't know if my shoes match on Sunday morning, but she only has her backup craft ready. Man, talk about somebody that loves working with kids. Two Feathers is faithful to get her grandkids here if they need a ride, and she's ready to jump in whenever and wherever I need her. Jean Fields and Kathy Breckenridge take turns with our oldest kids, putting the Word of God into their hearts. Whether they have eight kids in their class or a kid in their class, they are ready and willing to share the exact same lesson with the exact same heart. And then there's our second service, Big Kids Worship and Kids Connection. Kelly Case takes time to pick out songs that match with our big theme so it reinforces our lesson, and then she helps start teaching the kids and helping them digest the big idea from our Bible story. We have Brian Thompson, Jeff and Tisha Sparks, Jimmy and Erica Parks, and my wife Jamie preparing engaging, age-appropriate games and activities to help connect God's Word with the world that these kids encounter throughout the week. Ruth Harrison and Sandy Hammond love greeting people as they check their kids in and out of our kids' ministry. And it's with the warmest smile that those people are probably going to see the entire week. And they deal with whatever crazy change I put to our children's check-in, check-out on a regular basis. They're very flexible, and I appreciate it. And I've said for years, if I could commit my entire budget to cloning Naomi Kelly, I would do it. She is everywhere. Like, I may have already accomplished this. She may actually be a clone, so kind of get a magic marker and marker so you know which one's coming up to you. And something that people probably don't know is that she comes in during the week periodically, not each week, but periodically, and she cleans the toys that our kids play with, which I'm sure she would absolutely love some help with. This barely covers what happens with our Sunday crew. This isn't to mention the people that help with our GLOW or our VBS activities. We had over 50 people helping with our VBS this past year. That makes our VBS, our church, known throughout the community as a place where kids are safe and a program is well run so nobody has to worry and people encounter Jesus. That's just a small glimpse. That 50 people helping at VBS is just a small glimpse of what we can do if everyone did more so that everybody can do less. Thank you for answering the call to serve. Will you guys give those servants a round of applause, please? I know not a single one of those people did that for applause today, but they deserve it. And I want to do my best as a children's minister to help even more stories of God's power at work in us develop. I feel like I'm starting to make that shift in myself from working harder to try to get a lot of things done to working smarter to see things happen. One of the expressions that they kept sharing with us at this convention really stuck with me. And honestly, at first, it sounded like a way to get out of work. And I was like, oh, I can't go back and say that. But the more they taught it, the more they explained it, the more it made sense. They implored us, children's minister, only do what only you can do. Only do what only you can do. Because they only have one children's minister. If there's a task, a role that I can train someone or call someone to do that frees me up to do something that only the children's minister can do, I need to do that. I need to, if I just take on a task to try to take the load off my volunteers, which I've done, I do that because I love my volunteers. But what I'm doing is I'm neglecting something that just a leader can do, and I'm keeping someone from serving where they could. So I apologize, and I want to make that shift in myself. But we've got to participate with that. So I need to only do what only I can do. And quite honestly, here's another confessions of a children's minister moment. Some of you have offered to help, and I have dropped the ball. Like if I talk to you on a Sunday, sometimes I just forget it by Monday. And I apologize. That's on me. And so I want to get smarter there too. So what I've done is I've put together a team questionnaire that's on our website. So if you'll go to our website sometime throughout the week, you'll see just underneath that little video clip that starts up, there is a kids ministry, a kids connection logo, and it says team questionnaire. And if you click on that, you have no idea how much this will help me. If you will fill in your information, and then there's just a few key questions. Where are you currently serving? And what age are you currently serving with, and what role do you currently fill? And this is pretty Sunday morning specific, okay? And then there's the question, what age would you like to serve with if you're not already serving, or if you are serving and you don't feel like you're in the right spot, and what role do you feel like you could fill? And then there's two other key questions, and I want you to know I'm going to take these seriously. The next question is, are you willing to commit to serving 12 times a year? Whether that's a quarter in Sunday school or once a month in worship service. Are you willing to commit 12 times a year? And then the next question is, are you willing to do a little bit more than that until we can get a full rotation? If you answer no to the second question, I will honor that. I will not come and say, oh, I know you help for, you know, once a month, but can you help two times a month? If you're willing to commit to 12 times a year to that once a month, I want to honor that, and I will not try to hound you for more. So that's my promise to you. But I think this is a smarter way for me to approach this because I want people to be able to serve. And this will create a database for me that I can go through and I can sort. And trust me, this will help us do more together so each person can do less. Once you filled that out, I'll call you and we'll work together. Because honestly, you might think you're great at teaching, and I might have to tell you, you know, in this particular age group, that's not going to work out. Or I might see a gift in you that I can't pass up putting somewhere else because of how God's gifted you. We'll work together on that, and trust me, I like to keep people happy, but that's not my biggest goal. My biggest goal is to see our ministry succeed. Does that make sense? So, please partner with me in that process of figuring out where the best fit is. And if you don't fill out this form, you're not off the hook, by the way. If I see something you can be doing for the children's ministry, I know that God has stuff ready for us, and I really do think he's just waiting for us to be prepared because he doesn't want to see a puddle of water on the floor. So I'm coming for you. So better to fill out the form than have me catch you during the week. I want to leave you with a bit of encouragement today. The Apostle Paul encouraged the readers in Galatians in chapter 6, verse 9, by saying this, "Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest," and in this case, the harvest of kids' souls, "if we do not give up. Our God is able to do more than we can ask or even imagine. Let's get ready."